This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Tuesday's headlines, and we begin in the United Kingdom, where today there is a new prime minister, Gordon Brown, announcing his resignation today, effective immediately. And that's because Conservative Party leader David Cameron is poised to become the next prime minister as soon as a final deal is forged with the Liberal Democratic Party to make a ruling coalition. Cameron spoke outside No. 10 Downing Street after meeting with Queen Elizabeth II. Mr. Cameron says he believes a coalition will be formed soon because the country faces many daunting challenges.
Our country has a hung parliament where no party has an overall majority, and we have some deep and pressing problems, a huge deficit, deep social problems, and a political system in need of reform. For those reasons, I aim to form a proper and full coalition between the Conservatives and the Liberal Democrats. I believe that is the right way to provide this country with the strong, the stable, the good and decent government that I think we need so badly.
It's the first coalition necessary in the British House of Commons since 1974, and Mr. Cameron says it is more awkward when a coalition is there instead of a simple majority from one party, but he's confident this can work.
A coalition will throw up all sorts of challenges, but I believe together we can provide that strong and stable government that our country needs, based on those values, rebuilding family, rebuilding community, above all, rebuilding responsibility in our country.
Cameron also says the British government needs to restore trust with the British people.
One of the tasks that we clearly have is to rebuild trust in our political system. Yes, that's about cleaning up expenses. Yes, that's about reforming Parliament. And yes, it's about making sure people are in control and that the politicians are always their servants and never their masters.
Things moved briskly on Tuesday in London. Cameron, as mentioned, made that statement at No. 10 Downing Street just after meeting with Queen Elizabeth and just prior to Cameron's meeting with the Queen. She met with the outgoing Prime Minister, Gordon Brown. Just prior to meeting with the Queen, Mr. Brown, outside No. 10 Downing Street, said it's time for him to go, and he's done his best to make his country better.
In the face of many challenges in a very few short years, challenges up to and including the global financial meltdown, I have always strived to serve, to do my best in the interests of Britain, its values, and its people.
And in speaking later, while having obvious differences with Mr. Brown, the new Prime Minister, David Cameron, thanked his predecessor for his service.
Compared with a decade ago, this country is more open at home and more compassionate abroad, and that is something we should all be grateful for. And on behalf of the whole country, I'd like to pay tribute to the outgoing Prime Minister for his long record of dedicated public service.
You heard Mr. Cameron mention the financial problems facing his country, and certainly Britain is not alone. Much of Europe potentially facing economic calamity if, in fact, the problems afflicting Greece spread to the likes of Spain, Portugal, Ireland, Italy, and others, yes, including the United Kingdom. Here at home, the effort to stave off mounting deficits remains daunting, but the process continues right now on the floor of the U.S. Senate with the Democratic version of the financial reform legislation. The effort by Democrats has gotten a lot more complicated in recent days because one area of the economy they chose not to address in any significant way in this legislation is the troubling mortgage industry, led by government-backed giants Freddie Mac and Fannie Mae. In just the past few days, we've learned that in just the first quarter of the year 2010, Fannie Mae has lost $11.5 billion, Freddie Mac losing $6.69 billion. The problem doesn't end there. Fannie wants $8.4 billion in additional bailout funds from taxpayers. Freddie Mac wants $10.6 billion. That's a major problem for those who are trying to see real reform done on Wall Street and beyond to make sure we don't wander into the same financial crisis we did a couple of years ago. Earlier today, I spoke with New Jersey Congressman Scott Garrett, who says any type of reform bill without seriously addressing Freddie and Fannie is not going to do much.
No, it can't, because if you look at all the money that went out the door, your money and my money, taxpayer money, and all the bailouts to all the things we read about or hear about, the Bear Stearns, the AIGs, the auto companies, all that money pales in comparison to the amount of money that is going out the door every day to GSEs, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac.
Also in my conversation with Congressman Garrett, he read from a statement delivered to members of Congress by the Treasury, which Congressman Garrett then explained shows that President Obama, in his opinion, is way behind the eight ball on this issue.
Let's be crystal clear on the substance regarding the GSEs. They said, we agree that Fannie and Freddie are long overdue for reform, but get this. That is why the Treasury Department has initiated a process a few weeks ago to look not just at reforming the GSEs, but the entire housing process. So can you get that? That they only started looking at this process a few weeks ago instead of a year and a half ago when we told them that they should start focusing on it. Amazing.
So Washington may be tone deaf again on this issue, and that is not lost on the voters, and it's certainly not lost on the politicians. Just over this past weekend, three-term Utah Republican Senator Robert Bennett was denied a spot on his party's primary ballot by members of his own party because of his entrenched Washington position, as well as what they consider too much big government giveaways to Wall Street and other sources. Speaking today on MSNBC, Bennett's Senate colleague Orrin Hatch, also of Utah, says he understands why the people are furious.
People are mad, and they're justly mad. I mean, this country is being run right into the ground. We're going to be $20 trillion, $20,300 billion in national debt by 2020, and that's according to the president's own actuaries. A $900 billion deficit, well, $1.3 trillion deficit that year, according to their actuaries. $900 billion of which will be interest against the national debt. I mean, that's got to scare anybody to death. And these are things that are real, real issues.
To hear my complete conversation with Congressman Garrett, head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. Also today, members of British Petroleum, better known as BP, sitting before members of the U.S. Senate trying to explain what went wrong with that offshore oil rig that blew up on April 20th and has subsequently spilled 4 million gallons of oil into the Gulf of Mexico, which is now encroaching on the U.S. Gulf Coast. BP executives said they are responsible for the cleanup, but said they were not responsible for the explosion. And most of the executives seemed to take the approach that they were not ultimately responsible for the problem, something that many senators did not appreciate, including Wyoming Republican John Barrasso.
Reading the written testimony, I hear one message, and the message is, don't blame me. Well, shifting this blame does not get us very far. I am hopeful that we can learn from this experience, first to better prevent another massive spill, and also to ensure that we have an immediate and effective response.
And as if lawmakers didn't have enough on their plate, immigration, of course, is in the offing as well. And now those looking towards a comprehensive approach might have some unlikely allies. A growing number of prominent evangelical leaders, including Richard Land, as well as our frequent guest here, Matthew Staver, say a more balanced approach is necessary. Yes, they want secure borders and secure borders first, but they also want a path towards citizenship, which they insist is not the same as amnesty. To hear Mr. Staver's explanation, please again head to worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. Two other quick stories to tell you about. We reported not long ago about the Supreme Court basically allowing the Veterans Memorial Cross in the Mojave Desert, up since the aftermath of World War I, to stand, that it was not a violation of the separation of church and state. Well, now the cross is gone. It's been stolen by vandals who were apparently upset with the Supreme Court's decision to let the cross stay. And finally, Beau Biden, the Delaware State Attorney General and son of Vice President Joe Biden, is in a Delaware hospital after what doctors say is a mild stroke. They say he will have no problems with his speech or movement as a result of this health problem today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.